You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on TNT. Hey, I just talked with two fantastic ladies who are always able to teach me a lot, and we've got another fantastic lady coming up. But just before we continue, how do you fancy bank holiday weekend at a music festival for Truth and Freedom Tribe? But that's us, by the way. With 30 awake artists, including Danny Ramplin and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles, and Hope Sussex for the children. Plus, loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. I'm already hungry. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth of the world. A stand in the park and a light paper present Stand in the Light, a truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May the 24th to the 27th. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus booking fee. Children under five come free. There's no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website to make sure you don't miss out on what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family at standinthelight.uk. See you there. Let's sort out... Oh, these sort of live events, sorry, are so important. This cannot be understated, because I was talking about the ability to question and form questions during the first hour, and live events such as Stand in the Light are desperately important for our movement. A load of folks in the chat and some of you at home have met me in person because of events like this, and in doing so, you've been able to gauge my character in person. Those who have spoken to me in person have discovered I'm a real human. Oh, yes, I may be wonky in places, a little bit of a dancer after a few drinks, and a pretty funny looking chap in general, but the people I've met have been able to see me warts and all, and that will be vital for the future. We are in a new era, one where we will soon have trouble distinguishing an AI representation of a human and a real human. This is only possible because we consume most of our information online. And once humans and bots are almost completely indistinguishable from each other, it'll only be in the flesh that we can truly make a judgment about someone's character and the veracity of their claims. The digital world is taking over, and we risk losing ourselves to the code. People have been spooked recently by the fear of World War III. It happens at least a few times a year nowadays, but many people are unaware of what World War III really looks like. It'll be a battle of AI drones versus AI drones, where the most sophisticated algorithm will come out on top. People will be left watching AI-created propaganda for answers, and they will be left in a perpetual state of fear because of that. The only thing which will soothe that fear is real, definable, human interaction. We'll have to be close enough to pinch each other to really know we're dealing with another human. But the information which is forced upon us by AI will be ever present. Now, if you remember any event in the early 90s, if you went to a festival or a rave, no one had their faces stuck in their smartphones. There were no smartphones to be had. Instead, people were communicating with each other, dancing, and the conversations were all around us. Now, everyone double checks everything in real time, and people stand in large fields looking at AI-generated information. That societal shift will have many consequences, but I hold out hope that one of those consequences will be humans realizing that we have a better time when we're not being told what to do, how to live, or being force-fed state propaganda 24/7. I really want to go back to people looking up from their GPS to have a look for the road signs. But this takes us stepping out of our comfort zone and risking making an error or two. We are not computers. Humans make simple errors, but that's part of life. Don't let them take away all the things which make us human. Be happy to make mistakes. Be happy to hug another human. But most of all, return to the physical realm for a bit and remember what it's like to be happy. If you've missed your favorite TNT show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on TNT website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there is no reason to miss out on anything on TNT.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On Monday, the House of Representatives rejected a motion to reconsider its vote to reauthorize the controversial Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, paving the way for a possible future where scores of companies could, as some experts have described it, inadvertently become surrogate spies for the National Security Agency, the NSA. What a nice bunch of guys they are. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark. Ruckus, tell us more.
Well, this is kind of frightening. I thought that this bill was killed just last week when 19 Republicans joined forces with Democrats to tank a procedural vote on a previous version of this bill on the basis it didn't go far enough to reform the system and protect civil liberties. And Edward Snowden, of all people, is sounding the alarm. I think we should listen. According to NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, I hope everyone knows who he is. If not, you better learn real quick. He says that the United States National Security Agency, the NSA, is just days away from, and these are his words, quote, taking over the internet, end quote. That's how he's viewing it. And he's not alone. And I will explain. This is all thanks to the expansion of these surveillance powers. In a post on April 16th, on X, formerly known as Twitter, Snowden drew attention to a thread which was originally posted by one Elizabeth Goyton, the co-director of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. This post warns of a new bill, you know the bill, which could see the U.S. government surveillance powers amplified to new levels. Quoting Edward Snowden's tweet, he says, quoting here when he shared the other tweet from Elizabeth, he says, the NSA is just days from taking over the internet, and it's not on the front page of any newspaper because no one has noticed. The tweet that he shared from Elizabeth Goyton said, quote, if the bill becomes law, any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance as long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored, such as routers, servers, cell towers, etc., end quote. I think you get the idea. The bill in question, of course, reforms and extends a part of the FISA Act, the section known as 702. Currently, as it stands, the NSA can force internet service providers such as Google and Verizon and whatnot to hand over sensitive data concerning NSA targets. However, Goyton claims that through a quote-unquote innocuous change to the definition of, man, they keep doing this, quote, electronic communications surveillance provider, end quote, in the FISA 702 bill, the U.S. government could go far, far beyond its current scope and force nearly every single company and individual that provides any internet-related service to assist with NSA surveillance. Quote, that sweeps in an enormous range of U.S. businesses that provide Wi-Fi to their customers and therefore have access to equipment on which communications transit. Barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, dentist offices, end quote. I think you get the idea. Additionally, the people are forced, people forced to hand over data would be unable to discuss the information provided due to hefty gag order penalties and conditions as outlined in the bill. The bill initially received heavy pushback from privacy-conscious Republicans, but passed through the U.S. House of Representatives on April 13th. Part of the pushback saw the bill's proposed spying powers time frame cut from 5 years down to 2 years, as well as some minor amendments to the service providers included under the surveillance measures. However, according to Guyton, the amendment did very little to reduce the scope of surveillance granted to the NSA. In her view, the amendment could even see service providers such as cleaners, plumbers, and IT service providers that have access to laptops and routers inside people's homes to be forced to provide information and serve as quote-unquote surrogate spies. I believe Representative Anna Paulina Luna, Republican Congresswoman, voted against the bill in the House of Representatives. She tried her hardest. She said Section 702 was a quote-unquote irresponsible extension of the NSA powers. Luna added that if government agencies wanted access to data, they must be forced to apply for a warrant. Yes, they should. The bill is actually now slated for a vote in the U.S. Senate on April 19th. That is in a scant 3 days, Johnny. So this is absolutely frightening, and I don't think enough people are talking about this. What say you?
Yeah, this is insane stuff, isn't it? Total information awareness, it sounds like. It sounds like they're doing their best to scrape in all data now. I got a couple of issues with this. I know what you said about people taking note of Edward Snowden, and I say the same. It's always important for us to understand the whistleblowers, but I'm also a bit suspicious of Edward Snowden, to be honest, because I always find that my research shows that as soon as someone blows the whistle at that level, it's because they've already been co-opted, told they've got to blow the whistle, and then they control everybody else to funnel them into one way or funnel them into the other. So I'm always suspicious about these big names, especially when they get bought out by someone like Glenn Greenwald, who I find completely and utterly suspicious a lot of the stuff he does. So I'm always a little bit suspicious, but again, then I'm also course a bit suspicious about the NSA, because the NSA, I think when they say these things, what they're actually saying is, this is what we already do. We're already here. We're already looking at everything you do. We already have access to everything. And we're going to see what you do about it now as you try and enact laws to stop it. And then once it's done, we'll either decide how we change it so we can subvert the law, or we will do something. We will do it anyway. I think that's really what it comes down to. But so are you saying that when you said, like, people, are these people who are in your house? If they're in your house at some time and their technology's hooked up, are they suddenly listening to you? Is everybody who now comes in your house a spy? Are we all spies? And I'm quite not quite sure where this ends. Where do you see where the limits are? Are there any limits to this?
Well, that's the problem with this, which is why we're sounding the alarm about this, is because it's too broadly defined. So it could technically encounter or encompass, is the correct word I should use, I'm sorry, anything that they so desire or in the near future. Like, for now, it might just be, okay, if you go into someone's place of business, say the barbershop or the laundromat, and they're providing an online service, yeah, hey, you know, there could be terrorists meeting at the laundromat, checking out their smartphone, you know what I mean? So that's probably the argument they're going with. But the same thing could be, hey, I'm inside the house, I'm logged in, I'm hooked up to this person's Wi-Fi. Now that means you're somehow have some sort of contractual obligation with the U.S. government's spy agency, the NSA, to report what you have found. Or maybe it's like you don't even know that you're doing it. Maybe you're unconsciously reporting it. Maybe it's just because your phone, your device is now acting as a sucking off information on behalf of the NSA. It's such a complicated thing. I mean, it's not good, Johnny, no matter how you slice it. But you're absolutely right. I believe that they probably already do this. But now they want people to go along with this. They would love citizens to turn into, you know, spying on each other. You know what I mean? That would be great for them.
This is how I first saw the Edward Snowden leak as well, though. I just felt when it first came out that they were telling us, look, this is what we've already been doing for ages, so that you know from now on that that's what we're doing. And there you go, we've got it out there. So I someone else, Penelope Pitstop's goat, says he's a gatekeeper, but I'm you know, I don't know these things. We don't know these things. We will find out in the long term. There'll always be a book or a story that will come out that'll expose it all. But it has to be also balanced with Lorianne in a chat saying Johnny is always suspicious. So that's probably a very useful, and is why I'm an investigative journalist. Well, thank you for that, Ruckus. It's a really vital story to be out there as well in the news. I take it you'll be back joining us again tomorrow, yeah?
Lord willing, Johnny, I'll see you then.
Okay, excellent, my friend. Thank you to everyone who's still stayed tuned and is in the chat as well. Really like to see Richard Johnson's in there, Dark Commission, all of the guys I love so much, Holly, and of course, Wild Heather, the beautiful Wild Heather's in there too. If you have any questions for my guest in the next part of the show, please put a cue beforehand. I think some of you will. She's completely inspiring and we'll get there soon. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
TNT's Dirk Pohlman.
There was a plan on the British side to immediately after the victory over Germany to continue the war, to push the weakened Soviet Union back over over backwards. Yeah, so that is something that is not well known. That plan has been, you could find it on the internet and then it's off and on sometimes again. It's very difficult. It's not long. It's something like, if I recall correctly, something of 30 pages, I would say. I read it.
The Soviets had this coup in Czechoslovakia in 1948. And that appeared as the Soviets really was pushing forward, and they would, they thought that this means that we have to start an alliance against the Soviets. And that was NATO became.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Sometimes a car comes along that changes everything, with innovations never thought possible and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first DWB. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With a touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you'll never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we remove the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
I have a feeling these are the suspects in question. The two occupants look like the people involved in the armed robbery. I'm approaching the vehicle. Request backup. The driver matches the description because of a wide-set nose.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do.
crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to TNTRadio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. The same way you plan each detail for those moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make.
You are about to hear
today's news talk and the voice of freedom.
That's what this country's all about.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show. That's me, and that's his show. And my next guest is an extraordinary voice. I've been thinking about this interview from the moment it went on my calendar. It's very rare that I come across someone who is all kindness and light, someone who exudes positivity in everything she does, and who is such an amazing inspiration to everyone she meets. Lindsay Nicole House is a registered nurse who has been actively sharing her experiences and advocating for those who have suffered from vaccine injuries. Lindsay runs a community on X called the Vax Injured Lounge, where she not only documents her personal journey after experiencing adverse effects from COVID-19 vaccine injections, but also offers support to a growing list of individuals who have been impacted by vaccine-related health issues. You can follow her on X at House Lindsay RN, Lindsay spelled LYNDSEY, and Linktree/Lindsay House RN. Lindsay, it's truly a pleasure to speak to you today. How long have you been kicking ass for?
Oh, I've been kicking ass for 2 years and 4 months. I'm so excited to come on here and share some knowledge with you guys because it's very important. The public needs to hear this, and the media won't tell you, the government won't tell you, but we will tell you straight from the injured's mouth. And we have a full community of evidence that we're just waiting to share with you guys.
That's awesome. And people need to hear this stuff. They need to understand what's actually going on. I mean, we knew that when the pandemic ended and those doctors who were out telling everybody what to do was called quickly back under their rocks, that this was a time for us to make sure that people knew so the next time it would never, ever be allowed to happen. And that's what you're doing, definitely. Can you tell people who were encountering your story for the first time what happened to you?
Yeah, so I am confirmed vaccine injured, documented, diagnosed, and it's all over my chart. So what happened was 10 days after my shot, I went into full cytokine storm, and I didn't know it. And what that is a full systemic immune response that your body has, and that's what the spike protein is doing, in which the NIH has also disclosed. The spike protein causes an immune-mediated response, and then your body just goes into chaos. So I was in full-blown cytokine storm. I started to lose my hair. I started to have tremors. I had high heart rates, high blood pressure. I didn't know what was going on. My weight plummeted from 130 to 102 pounds, all muscle mass loss. It reactivated Epstein-Barr virus, and it also, I got the shingles, so that was fun as well. And now I just have a myriad of problems that, with my medical results and evidence, that we can actually give you guys some education and what to expect and what to look for and what we're seeing in us. So hopefully my testimony will help you guys. Like I said, I'm injured 2 years and 4 months now. So it's been a long road. The government has completely abandoned us the past 3 years. They know about us. We've talked to them. They've heard our stories. They still choose to ignore us. So what we did was we took matters into our own hands, and we built a community of all of us together because they're not coming to save us. So we have to save ourselves. So that's how it kind of started.
Awesome. How many doses did you receive of the vaccine, and were they all from the same company?
So I received my first dose was Moderna, and then the second dose was also Moderna. I reacted 8 hours after those two, kind of like your body aches, your fever, just real simple stuff. But then it subsided in 48 hours and I thought, okay, I was fine. And then in December of 2021, we had an infectious disease doctor. He was our point man on the floor and he was letting us know to mix and match the doses and manufacturers because it would offer more protection. Because at the time we didn't know spike protein was bad. And the more spike protein you have, the worse off you're going to be. So we thought, you know, good, more antibodies, more protection. So I got Pfizer and that's when I had my reaction. It did the same thing 8 hours and subsided in 48. And then, like I said, in cytokine storm day 10. So that's the three doses that I had. And the reason I took the Pfizer was because they were incentivizing at work pretty hardcore. You know, you don't have to wear a mask except for in front of patients. We're going to give you paid time off vacation, a certain amount of hours if you take your booster. And at the time, my husband and I hadn't had children yet. So I didn't want to get mandated because that's where they were pushing it to go towards, another mandate for the vaccine. So I went ahead and got it so I didn't have to get it while pregnant. And it was the biggest mistake of my life.
Yeah, I feel for you. I really do. So what did how long after? Because you said you had like a sort of reaction from the first two. But how long was it for the from the third one where you actually started to realize this was all going wrong?
Didn't know or attribute it to the vaccine probably into month 3 or 4. And I was so sick during those months. And I actually had went to the doctor to get medical attention for the tachycardia and the high blood pressure and stuff because this was out of my normal. My only ailment as a child, my past medical history was a pollen allergy. I played 3 sports in high school. I was an all-state shortstop and pitcher. I went to play college softball before I became a nurse. So I was in tip-top health. And actually, we pulled records from my old pharmacist. And the last antibiotic I took was 2008. So I was in my early 20s. So I never got sick. If I did, it was from pollen allergies. And I would just see the athletic trainer or urgent care. So a pretty drastic change from being normal one day and then not the next. And then when I went to the doctors, they gaslighted us. They immediately labeled me with anxiety, depression, PTSD, OCD, and ADHD, all new onset diagnosis, and never addressed my symptoms whatsoever. So I continued on, and then the shingles happened, and that's when I really started to go downhill. That was month 5. That's when my doctor pulled me out of work and saved my life.
Okay, I got a load more questions, but we're going to take a quick 30-second news break. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
And now,
dude, I have huge news.
I knew it! Knew it!
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Former President Donald Trump became the first U.S. president to stand trial on criminal charges, starting April 15th. Australian police have declared the live stream stabbing of Orthodox Christian Bishop Mar-Mari Emanuel in Sydney as a terrorist incident. The White House refuted reports suggesting Iran had informed the U.S. about its attack on Israel, describing these claims as completely false and comparing them to malarkey.
Are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio?
Do you think we're doing a good job?
Then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Getter? Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
So, Lindsay, you were told by the doctors you had ADHD, severe anxiety with OCD tendencies, whatever they could lob on to avoid actually facing up to what was really happening. Wouldn't it be also suspicious if you had had a vaccine and then suddenly you suffer from all of these conditions you've never had before, whether they're physical or psychological? Wouldn't that be a significant marker, do you think?
Absolutely. And what we figured out since then is what it's doing is it's turning some gene mutations on and off. Essentially, guys, this is a battle for our genome. They're after our genome is what they're after. And we've realized that a lot of us injured have the MTHFR gene mutation. And what that is, it controls how you methylize B12 and folate, but also creating your neurotransmitters. So your serotonin, your dopamine, your norepinephrine, your GABA, your cortisol, all of those important neurotransmitters that if you don't have, you're going to see depression, anxiety, ADHD, and all this and all the things that I got diagnosed with. So that's what happened essentially, is it knocked out my neurotransmitters when it went to cytokine storm. So I had an empty tank and I was just chugging along on nothing.
So do you think the vaccine was an attempt to change your DNA then?
Absolutely. It's been confirmed. DNA integration has been confirmed into the human genome. There has been 12 countries that they have confirmed the product of the vials contain plasma DNA, dirty DNA that was built in E. coli. It also contains SV40 cancer promoter, pseudouridine, lipid nanoparticles, and then the spike protein itself. So that's the concoction. And the thing is, Johnny, that they didn't give the trial participants these vials. They gave the public this vial. So they did a bait and switch on us. And this is what we got.
That is it is unbelievable, but it is completely accurate. And an extraordinary statistics came out afterwards about the deployment of the vaccines that completely shocked loads of people. I know in Britain we saw an area by area mix of different batches being sent out to different areas, and it seemed that they were literally testing on each batch differently on different areas to see how the
Yeah,
the reactions would be.
We're the trials, y'all. I hate to say it, but we are.
So as a registered nurse, did you feel like your bosses actually cared about any potential negative consequences to their own staff or let alone their patients? Was there any care, or was it all just promote it, get you on board, and then leave you once you were suffering the consequences?
It was definitely the latter that you suggested, especially high up in administration. It's all about money. I did a little digging with our facility. We're a small hospital chain on the East Coast of the United States. I'm in North Carolina. And the vice president and research of innovations of our hospital, he was a clinical master scientist with Pfizer before he came to our facility. So that's how deep and how connected and how deep the money runs. And people just don't realize that. And they need to know. Another thing, too, insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, they also mandated for this, for patients to get paid for their services, for a percentage of people to get vaccinated. And also the hospitals, they do what's called magnet status. And what that is like an elite hospital status. They get all the funding, all the bigs and bags for everything. And if you don't comply with magnet status, you lose it. And they had to also, you know, made people get the vaccine for that criteria as well. So we were up against a lot of things. It was all about the money for sure.
Yeah, money. How did your friends and family take it all once everything started to go wrong then?
So at first, especially work, they actually thought I was bipolar manic, and they wanted to involuntarily commit me to the psychiatric unit. If they would have done that while I was so sick and in cytokine storm, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. I wouldn't be alive. So my doctor saved me. But family at first, they thought I was, you know, batshit crazy. They thought I was a hypochondriac. I was, you know, making stuff up. They just didn't know what was going on until my symptoms started showing physically, especially my hair loss and the shingles and everything. And then they're like, wow, these results, you are injured. And now they're on board. But it definitely took a toll on friends and family. To this day, some people still don't speak out or talk to me about it. But I do know that I will pray for them because that's just the right thing to do.
That's a really kind thing to, a kind way to take it. And you're going to leave me well enough if you're not careful. You've obviously saved lives by campaigning against what is experimental medical procedures that they've been forcing on humans all around the world. How hard has it been to build like a community of activists in the post-COVID era?
It's very hard. We are so censored. Like I said, a lot of us injured, we feel like our identities have been erased for the past 3 years. Like we haven't existed as human beings because they tell us we don't exist. They tell us we're rare. We're not rare. We're not unicorns. We're pretty abundant. And it's pretty sad of how many there are of us. So the censorship is brutal. We have some lawsuits, class action here in the United States against Joe Biden and the government for censorship. We get banned on all the platforms, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Twitter's the only platform that we can talk freely about and post our journey in our videos. So very grateful for Elon Musk for that and being able to tell my journey, because there are people that have died from this and they can't voice their journeys. So we have to be their voice and they matter. Their deaths will not be in vain and we will get justice for every single person that has passed from this vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, if I was to post any of the clips from this video on YouTube, I'd probably get a content strike for reporting on someone who's vaccine injured. I mean, you've experienced that manner of censorship across the board, then I take it. That's just every platform but X.
Horrible. Yeah, every platform but X.
Oh my God, that's hard. I feel for you. Listen, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
While serving in Vietnam, a grenade took my ability to see. Today, I'm a sculptor creating new visions. Now, my fingers are my eyes. As a veteran, I know the challenges of life can be great. In my art, turning a lump of clay into something beautiful, that means a lot to me. Life is like that. We each must use what we can to make things better.
DAV helps veterans like Michael get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
Now, I show others how they can create something with their own hands. With support from DAV, more veterans can shape their lives into a thing of beauty. My victory is bringing beauty into the world.
Michael Naranjo, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
You ever heard of a polyp? Sounds like a rare species of toad. Actually, it's a lump that grows inside me, your bowel. Look, I'm pretty sure if you had a strange lump growing on your forehead, you might get it looked at, right? But when they're growing inside me, nothing, nada. And the polyps I get can lead to Australia's second deadliest cancer. So, until there's a way to make them grow on your face, it's up to you to get me looked at. Got it?
You're with Johnny Vedmore
on Today's News Talk,
TNT.
Well, Lindsay, I tell you, You are just inspiring in every way, but this story hits everybody in the heart, of course, because I mean everybody feels completely and utterly devastated who can at least focus in on it. And I know that we talked in the break a little bit there, and we talked just before about families and how hard it is for people to actually face what's really happening. And when we talk about what's really happening, what do you think the vaccines were really for?
I think it was for depopulation control and to take gain of our genome. That's what they're after. Another thing that they're finding out is the spike protein binds to the P53 gene, which is your guardian genome. And that genome is your tumor suppressor gene. So that lets your body know and signal when a tumor or cells are, you know, going crazy in your body and headed towards the bad way, and it completely knocked that gene out. So to me, it's like these people know, they have to know now, especially with not pulling the vaccine after everything that's come out. They're complicit in crimes against humanity. This is worse than the Holocaust, and we have to get a hold on this, because if we don't, there's not going to be a future for our children. They're going to have to suffer. And I really hate that. It's really going to take divine justice from God. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up. We're in a spiritual battle and informational battle. And we have to make sure that we use our discernment and our heart and our minds and our critical thinking and our common sense and just do what's right for as good human beings for the population.
Yeah, I completely agree. And what you're doing is really good at the moment, because you speak to a lot of people who are vaccine injured, of course. What are some of the most memorable stories you've heard, and how do you stay strong doing this type of work?
Actually, you guys, my supporters and my loved ones and my other injured, they're the reason that I keep going. And I wanted to also bring about that a lot of the injured, since we're heading into year 3 and 4, our bodies are getting tired. Our bodies can't go on like this forever. We have to give you this evidence while we're still here. We're seeing congestive heart failures, the cancers. But we just want to share with you guys some of the things, the big things that you need to know that the media will not tell you. I do have a list, so apologize if I have to look down. I have brain fog sometimes. Please so one it. Of the main things we're seeing is brain shrinkage on our one-year follow-up scans of our MRIs and CT scans. And that's very alarming. It's mainly specific in our frontal cortex and our frontal lobe. So right here in the front, and that's where you're going to see your processing and your cognitive stuff. So you're going to see your brain fog. We're seeing lots of white and gray matter disease. So your dementia, your Alzheimer's. Like I said, the spike crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it attaches in the brain to tissues. It attaches to bone, glands. It attaches to everything. And we're seeing like inflammation, the clots, we're seeing the strokes, multiple sclerosis, ALS, Guillain-Barré syndrome, transverse myelitis, CIDP, and we're seeing demyelination of your nerve sheath, which is the protective covering of your nerve. It's like a thing that surrounds your nerve endings that keeps it safe. And what it's doing is it's literally eating itself down to the nerve endings. So we're seeing a lot of cognitive issues. Another thing that we're seeing is low sperm counts in our men. And this is the reproductive alarming side that people need to know about. I've advised people who are vaxxed and unvaxxed due to shedding, because you can get the spike from the virus, which was another man-made gain-of-function bioweapon made at Chapel Hill, North Carolina by Ralph Barrick, Peter Daszak, and Xi Jingli, the bat lady. They then transported it to China and tried to blame it on the wet market bat, but that's not what happened. They made it in the lab. So you can get the spike from the virus, the vax, or shedding. And people need to be mindful of that, because I'm monitoring currently a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, and a 40-year-old who all have zero sperm counts currently. They were perfectly healthy before. So this is huge. We're also seeing lots of what I call, I don't know if you've heard VAIDS. I know you've heard the topic, vaccine-acquired immunodeficiency disorder. So I'm actually confirmed VAIDS. And what that means is it knocked out my T cells and my immune system. It doesn't have the HIV virus insert specifically. It's mimicking the HIV virus. So I tested negative for HIV. We are seeing some false positives in some of the injured, though, with the HIV test. So it's mimicking the HIV virus, and it's causing the immune response and knocking out your immune system. Another thing we confirmed is I'm a spike protein factory. And what that means is I will continue to produce spike. We don't know how to shut it off. We got to figure out how to shut it off because it's so toxic. But how we did this was we did a monocyte panel and a cytokine panel in 2022 with Dr. Bruce Patterson. And we saw that all three monocyte lines, my classical, non-classical, and intermediate lines, were all transfected with the spike protein from the vaccine. I've never had the virus. We have confirmed this also with nucleocapsid testing. So it did not pick up any virus. It was only vax spike. There is a test to differentiate the two. People need to know about that as well. So in 2023, we rechecked my monocyte lines and we cleared them. And what we used to clear them with was an off-label HIV drug called Miravirox. And what it does is it's a CCR5 inhibitor, and it works at that gene receptor sites area. And that's the gene receptor they're targeting, which is an HIV gene receptor. Fauci did this in the 80s. This is nothing new. This is just like a continued version from the HIV patients. And I feel really bad. And I wish they would join our community as well, because the fight's on for, you know, putting Fauci behind bars, because there's no amnesty with that. He's murdered a lot of people. We just recently rechecked my panels, and one monocyte line was transfected. So last year, after clearing the line, we confirmed that we can clear spike, but then it came right back. So that's my struggle, is trying to figure out how to stop the spike, calm my immune system, and get the inflammation down. We also did a microclot test. I don't know if you've seen Richard Hirschman. He's an embalmer here in the United States. He has been pulling out the big white things, is what I call them, from the cadavers. Well, it's in us too. I have positive amyloid fibrin microclots. I'm graded a 3.5 out of 4. It's moderate and widespread. It has endothelial casts. So endothelial casts are the little stringy finger-like things that are hanging off of it, and it causes inflammation in your vessels. We are currently ordering a MRI of my pelvis at the moment. I'm waiting on scheduling to call me back, actually, to see if one of my microclots has lodged into my iliac vein. Sort of like what Lauren Boebert just had, one of the representatives of Congress recently. And if that's the case, it means that the clot has lodged in my vein and it's cutting circulation and blood flow to my feet. So I have numb and tingling to my feet, and my feet are turning black and blue because it's not getting blood flow. So they would have to go in, extract the clot, and put a stent in. So pray for me for that. That's what I have right now. I also wanted to let you guys know about the DNA integration that I touched on earlier. I'm currently being tested for that, and my results will be back next month. And what that means is they use CRISPR-Cas9 technology with mRNA technology. And what it does is it cuts into your genes, and it transcribes a piece of their dirty DNA that was in the vials, and it inserts it. But the problem is we don't know where it inserts at. It just does it random. We have been seeing it confirmed specifically in chromosome 7 and 12, which there you're going to see your neuro and your cancer stuff. So another thing to be mindful of with the DNA integration. And when I get that back, I would love to come share it with you guys. I just did my microbiome panel, and people need to be mindful of this too, because your gut is your second brain. If you can't heal your gut, the inflammation is going to leak out into the rest of your body, and you're not ever going to heal. So you have to fix your gut. I saw Dr. Sabine Hazan. She's wonderful. She has discovered that the vaccine knocks out your bifidobacteria and your lactobacteria and the good bacteria. So what it's doing is it's knocking that essential good bacteria out, and it's causing the bad bacteria that we have in our gut to overgrow and take over. And that's not good, because once that happens, like I said, it leaks out from your gut into the rest of your body, and you can't get a hold on the inflammation. Let me look at my list. I feel like I'm missing something.
They've done a lot, though, haven't they? They've really. I mean, that's not just a little bit of damage. That's so many different areas of your body, and they're the fundamental areas of your body that allow your body to repair itself as well, which is, of course, a double slap across the face. I'm looking across at the chat on the TNT chat, and Lorianne asked for me to ask you what you've learned to help other injured people.
What I've learned. So if you guys go to my link tree on my page on X, I call it my Holy Grail. That's pretty much my journal, my Bible, my diary. If I've done it, if I've trialed it, if I've tested it, if I've done the research on it, it's all there. I recommend everyone go to that and just click on every link. There's so much stuff on there. Like I said, there are things that we can do to protect ourselves. We have, you know, with the shed-in, we've seen good results with natokinase and the curcumin and bromelain, you know, just prophylactically treating. But also, We have other modalities that have helped the injured, such as hyperbaric oxygen chamber therapy, ozone blood therapy. We have IV infusions that help. NAD plus is a good one, vitamin C. Infrared light lamp therapy is another good one. So it's just really trial and error, honestly, Laurie, at this point.
So who do you think are fundamentally to blame for what happened to you? And you can give a longer list as you want. But of course, you mentioned people like Fauci and other people. I know Nick Potosky, an account on Twitter who I like very much. Pizza Pickles Per is
wonderful.
Yeah, I know. He's one of the most wonderful people around. He came on my podcast and spent probably about 2.5 hours going through his slides about HIV and the roots to it. But we know Fauci and others. Who do you think, though, are fundamentally to blame for what happened?
Of course, big pharma, big tech, big media. You guys are complicit, too. Also, the government, of course. What they're doing now is the regulators, big pharma, and the government are trying to do the who's going to take the blame. Nobody wants to take the fall for this. So they're all pointing fingers at each other. They're all to blame. They all should be locked up and justice should be served. Everybody that was complicit in it, absolutely. Like you said, the list is too long, but Fauci, Ralph Baric, Peter Daszak, Xi Jinping, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab. I even said the other day, I will take Klaus Schwab to hell with me if I have to. Of course, I would come back because I'm an angel. But if I have to do that, guys, I will. And I will buckle up and armor up just for you guys for that.
I'd be happy to see that. Listen, I'm going to send you an article I wrote after this show as well. And I know you'll then add Jeremy Farrar, Neil Ferguson, yeah. Roy Anderson, Richard Sykes, yeah. and Edward C. Holmes to that list, especially those. Yeah, those guys are definitely on there too. So, right. Oh my God, Lindsay, you have gone through so much and you've come out the other side. You remain so positive. How do you remain so positive with hearing so many harrowing stories and from going through this yourself?
Honestly, God, he's the only reason I'm still here talking to you guys. I shouldn't be here. I'm a medical anomaly. Like I said, I'm in cytokine storm. People like me, you're going to see in your ICUs on ventilators with kidney failure, multiple organ failure. You're just not going to see us. So I'm a walking testimony of God. And I think truly the only thing that helped save me was how fit and healthy I was before being an athlete. Because a lot of us who are injured were athletes prior to this. We've found, and of course they targeted the medical and military community. So there's another big bomb.
So what are your plans now, lovely? Are you going to keep on your current path or have you got other things to work on? I mean, you are on multiple paths at the moment, aren't you? What's your plans?
So I got some things coming up. I want to start my own foundation, my own show. I want to be the Tucker Carlson and let you guys know what's going on. I want to be the Johnny Vidmore and give you guys what's real and what's news. And I love it. And I thank you every day, Johnny, for what you're doing, because giving us a platform, like you said, the censorship is just so strong and it's just trying to break through the dam. And I feel like we can get through and keep hitting it. The dam will eventually break, but we just have to keep praying and keep going.
Well, you shouldn't be thanking me. You should be thanking yourself. I meet people all the time who have been vaccine injured who I just fills me up with amazing, an immense amount of motivation and want to keep going and want to do better, because I know that you're going through much harder times. I know that the amount of love you get from my supporters as well, it's just an abundance. You're a complete inspiration. So how do people find you and support what you're doing?
Yeah, you can find me on every platform, honestly. I kind of dabble in everything. I want my voice to be heard and other people's stories to be out there and let us know that we do exist and that we are coming for justice. And we need you guys to support us and join us in this fight, vaxxed and unvaxxed. It doesn't matter your vax status at this point because you're getting exposed to spike in all directions. They're contaminating our food or water or air. I actually just made a global petition. If you guys could sign it, every country can sign it. It's on change.org. I'll post it in my links. And I also just, guys, share our videos, share our lectures, get us out there. That's what we're having trouble with, is the reach.
Awesome. Lindsay, thank you very much. Lindsay House, everybody, thank you for joining me.
Love you guys.
Love you too. Well, thank you to all my guests. I'm going to go away and probably have a little bit of a sob, to be honest. Thanks to Margot, Shelley Beaufresh, Lindsay House for everything they're doing. Remember that the Mark Morano Show is up next, so stay tuned to TNT. From me, Diolch yn fawr, again, thank you for being here from Wales. I'll be chasing the proverbial sheep around the field for another Johnny Vedmore Show tomorrow. Enjoy yourself. Keep safe, stay wide awake, and join me again soon for a new day on today's News Talk TNT.